Thank you, Olivia. Olivia is a college student from Georgia Southern University, and she will be home all summer, so maybe we'll hear more of that. Where did she go? Did she leave? Oh, there she is, way back there. Hey. It's great to have Hannah's home, too. Any other college students home this weekend that I missed? Austin's here, but he's going back. He's got a J-O-B job, so by the end of the summer, he's going to be like Job with his job. Thank you very much for being here. I've got 15 minutes to preach a sermon. I'll do my best. It's been 53 years since the World's Fair was held in New York City. There were 165 different pavilions representing nations and organizations and corporations. And the theme for that World's Fair was peace through understanding. The most popular pavilion, which was visited by 27 million people, 52% of the people that attended the World's Fair that year saw this display, was the Vatican Pavilion. The reason was because of Michelangelo's 69-inch tall Pietà statue that was on loan from St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. The idea for the Vatican Pavilion had come from the Pope, who requested the American bishops under the leadership of Cardinal Francis Spellman, the Archbishop of New York, to oversee the arrangements. And to go with the pavilion, the Pope would loan the Pietà and another statue called the Good Shepherd to the New York Fair. And thus began one of the most well-planned and executed logistical operations ever undertaken for a single shipment. Michelangelo was commissioned in 1497 to form from a single block of marble this statue. The statue depicts the Virgin Mary grieving over the body of Jesus. The artist completed the work in 1499 when he was just 24 years old, and centuries later, the Pietà is still regarded as the world's greatest masterpiece in sculpture. Due to the nature and the pricelessness of the artwork, every means possible was taken to ensure its safe journey across the Atlantic to become the star attraction at the World's Fair. The 7,000-pound masterpiece was protected in a 5,000-pound steel case or container built to withstand every possible kind of hazard, including fire and water and even an explosion. If lost overboard, the container could float free, having been released by its hydrostatic lashings. It was equipped with an electronic device to send out a light and a radio transmission signal. Inside the container, the statue was braced on all sides with lumber and stuffed with styrofoam-like beads to softly embrace the masterpiece on all sides. Special lifting devices and securing brackets were manufactured and tested before use. The Pietà left Vatican City on April the 4th, 1964, and was secured on the after cabin deck of the Italian line passenger ship Cristoforo Colombo. The vessel arrived 10 days later in New York on April the 14th and was lifted off by a floating derrick and placed on a McAllister barge for delivery to the fairgrounds. The World's Fair closed in October 1965, and the Pietà and the Good Shepherd statues returned to St. Peter's Basilica on board the Cristoforo Colombo in the same condition as received. It is unlikely the Pietà will ever travel again, as the Vatican maintains a strict policy on allowing any of its art or treasures off its grounds. Insured for only $6 million, the Pietà is the most valuable cargo that has ever been transported by sea. But today, we're going to look at the life of a woman in the New Testament who carried something which could be considered of even greater value than the Pietà. Her name is Phoebe. She was a woman that we can read about in Romans, and she was most likely the woman responsible for carrying the book of Romans from Paul in Corinth to the Christian church in Rome. The name Phoebe means radiant or bright. She is one of the bright spots in Paul's ministry. She's been called a deaconess. She was most likely a widow. She is in all probability a wealthy and highly influential woman in the church. She is a helper. She is not proud. She is not arrogant. She is a humble servant at heart. She is from a city called Cenchrea. It's a small town about 6 miles from Corinth where Paul wrote this letter. And she is agreed among most theologians, carried that priceless, uncopied document of Romans to the church. Now, this was a monumental responsibility. It was a vital task for the future of the church. The book of Romans, which Phoebe transported to Rome, has been the foundational pattern for every book that's ever been written on systematic theology. In Romans, we learn the essentials of Christianity. We learn the values of holiness. We learn about the anticipated future for the church. We learn about the Holy Spirit and how Christians are involved in a lifelong battle between the Spirit and the flesh. This morning, I want you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 16, and we're going to consider three things. As you do that, let me tell you what we're going to think about this morning. First of all, the first question is this: what kind of woman would be entrusted with such a great responsibility? Secondly, how should the rest of us respond to the Phoebes in our lives? And the third thing is this: moms and women, what will you carry? So first of all, what kind of woman would be entrusted with such a great responsibility? Let's read the text. Romans chapter 16, verses 1 and 2 says, "I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of. For indeed, she has been a helper of many and of myself also." The first designation that I want you to see of Phoebe is this: that she was a sister. Or you could say she was a sister. Paul's first designation of this woman was that she's a sister. Now, this doesn't mean that she's a biological sister. It means that she is a fellow believer. They had different mothers, but they had the same heavenly father. When Paul met Phoebe, I wasn't there, and the Bible doesn't record their first meeting, but I can almost assure you that they were instant friends. There was an instant connection because they were members of the same family. In all probability, this woman, Phoebe, was older than Paul. She was an older widow. She was a mature believer. And all most likely, she held an office in the church. She had an ability to make others feel welcome, as though they were valued and wanted. This woman that Paul refers to as our sister, he doesn't say she's my sister. She says she's our sister. And who's writing this with Paul? It's a guy named Timothy. And so Timothy, who was a younger pastor, he looked at Phoebe as his sister also. She was his sister. Phoebe was not only a sister to Paul and to Timothy, but she was a sister to the entire church. The body of Christ in Corinth and the body of Christ in Rome considered Phoebe their sister. Small children who may have viewed her as a mother or a grandmother in the faith referred to her as sister. She didn't lord it over others. She was a humble servant. She didn't feel entitled to any kind of special treatment or special preference. She embodied one of the themes that Paul writes about in the book of Philippi, also in the book of Rome, and that is the theme of humility. Although she was wealthy, she was influential, she could have demanded special treatment, she was not the matriarch of the church, she was the sister of the church, she was Sister Phoebe. She was our sister. She was a fellow believer. She is most likely the one who carried this letter of Romans to the church in Rome. She is entrusted with carrying this letter that would shape Christianity forever. The book of Romans has been instrumental in leading millions of people to faith in Christ. It was responsible for leading Martin Luther to found Protestantism. It was responsible for helping Augustine come to faith in Christ. He read a portion of Scripture in Romans and he accepted Jesus. It tells us about salvation by grace alone. It would describe for us what Jesus Christ is planning for us in heaven. The book of Romans tells us not to be ashamed of the gospel. It tells us the importance of holiness. It tells us the need for confession. It tells us that we have this gospel. It tells us the battle that we will have in this world with temptation. It gives us the remedy for sin. It's an important book, and it was entrusted to this woman named Phoebe. Sister Phoebe. The second thing I want you to notice about her is this. She was not only a sister, but she was a servant. Now the word servant is the word diakonos. It's the word from which we get deacon. It can be masculine or feminine. It can be deacon or deaconess. And literally, it means that there is a person who is a servant, not in their relationship to a master, but in their activity. They are in the act of serving. That's what deacon means. It means to be in the act of serving. It doesn't mean just to maintain a ministry position in the church, which she did. She did maintain this ministry position that was reserved really mostly for widows. Her duties in the church were to care for the sick, to care for the poor, to minister to those who are martyrs, and to help those people who are in prison. She was responsible for teaching Sunday school or teaching the children. She had the responsibility of assisting women in baptism. She exercised general supervision over the women in the church. Phoebe carried the theology of the Christian church from Paul to Rome. She would carry this letter over land and sea. It was an important and dangerous task that she was up to because she was a servant. The third thing about Phoebe is this, that she was a supporter. Paul writes and he says to her, he says, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever business she has need of you, for indeed she has been a helper. Now, I like the King James word for this better than any other word I've come around, and the word is the word succorer. She is a succorer. She is one to help. The word literally means patroness or protectress. She was a protector. Even though she was a wealthy woman, she used her wealth to help those people who were less fortunate than herself. This word's commonly used of a wealthy person who supported ministries and organizations for a certain cause. For instance, we say a person is a patron of the arts. They're a supporter. They use their wealth and influence to support artistic endeavors. Phoebe was not just an ordinary helper. She was highly esteemed. She was highly respectable. And she used that influence and that wealth to support Paul and his ministry and the ministry of other people. The idea behind succorer or assistant or helper is a picture of a person who goes to court, who stands with you in court. The Apostle Paul used this word when he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:17 when he declared that the Lord stood with him, and he wrote, "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me in his trial before Caesar." And so the idea is this woman was the kind of woman that would stand with you, and she would stand with you in your innocence, but she would also stand with you even when you were guilty. She was a supporter. She was there. She was a helper. She was this woman who was set up over others as a protector and as a patron, caring for their affairs, using her resources to do it. And so that's what we see this kind of woman is. She is a sister, she is a servant, and she is a supporter. Secondly, how should we treat women like that in the church? If we have women like that in the church, how should they be treated? The first thing I want you to know is this. Paul commended her. The word commend means he placed her in this church. He sent her to say, listen, I'm sending her to you like I'm putting a meal before you. It's the idea when Jesus had his disciples take the 5 loaves and the 7 fish and place them before the crowd. It's this picture of how Jesus, when he was on the cross, He said, into thy hands I commit my spirit. I am placing my spirit before you. When Jesus told parables, the Bible says he placed these parables before them. And so Paul is making a recommendation to the church. He is recommending her like you would recommend a person for membership in an organization. He's commending her to them. And these ladies in our church who are Phoebes, who are sisters and servants and supporters, are to be commended. They're to be placed before us in a position of honor. The second thing we see that we should do as a church when it comes to the Phoebes in our church is that we are to connect with them. He commands them. He says, receive her. Make a connection. This is more than just a superficial acquaintance. He says, listen, accept her. Receive her as a person who is in the Lord. Paul asked them, don't just ask her to come into your house, but welcome her into your homes and into your lives. Give her full acceptance. Don't hold her at arm's length. Their lives were to be open books before her in the Lord. She was not to be debarred from spiritual intimacy. They were not to keep her away, but they were to invite her in. And you know, what I find in the church is this. There are lots of friendly people in the church. There's not always friends in the church. We can be a very friendly place, but we've got to be a place that not just is friendly when people come, but we're actually willing to be friends with them. And that's what Paul's saying. He says, receive her. Don't just be friendly to her. Be her friend. Third thing the church is commanded to do is this, is to support her. Give her any help she needs. The word is pragma. It means pragmatic. Give her pragmatic help. Help her. We are to help the Phoebes in our church. Anything that is done or carried out for them in a practical way, we should do. And he says, do this in a way that is worthy of the saints. Do this in a way that is becoming of the saints. Do this in a way that let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Paul writes and told the Philippians, he says, let your life carry the weight of the gospel that you claim that you have. And that's what he's saying to them. He's saying, listen, you say that you're Christians. Live in such a way that you carry the weight of that title, especially when it comes to supporting the Phoebes in our lives. And lastly, this is the last thing I want to say. Moms and women, what is it that you'll carry? Today, across the United States, there are millions of people celebrating motherhood. Children are going to buy gifts. They're going to send flowers. They're going to make long overdue phone calls. They're going to send texts, Facebook messages, Instagrams. They're even going to tweet their moms, which I think is so tweet. Some are going to prepare a meal. Some are going to take them out to dinner. Today's the day we're going to celebrate moms. Phoebe's on the high list for Paul as far as saints in the church. He commends her to the church. He commands the local church to receive her. When I think about what women carry, what I think about first and foremost significantly is that there is no man who has ever carried a child in the womb. Our wives carry our children for 9 months before they ever make it into this world. There's never been a man who's done that. Men aren't tough enough to handle that experience. Women are much tougher than men in many ways. A mama carries her baby in her womb for 9 months, and then a mama carries that child in her arms for several months, for several years. And while we men can help out, it's hard to compete with the bond that a mama forms with her baby. A mom carries that child through grade school years, through the middle school years, until one day he or she walks across the stage in a high school graduation ceremony. A mama never stops carrying that child. She turns him or her loose one day. She has to. It's the way it goes. But she never ceases to care. She never ceases to carry her precious child. They grow up. They do things. Things do change. But once a mama, always a mama. The greatest joy, the greatest privilege is to hear those words, mama. And while it is notable, and it is noble to carry a child, to give birth to a child, to nurture a child, to support a child, while it is a precious thing to give care to a child's physical, emotional, and financial needs, it is not enough. The most important need that a child has is spiritual. If a child grows up to be healthy, happy, successful, but never gets the gospel, we've done that child a great disservice. If he wins the championship, if she receives the top award, but they never embrace the gospel, we have failed them. A child can go through life and never receive a prize, never win first place, never get recognition for his or her achievement. He can miss out on sports, winning the top prize, but if he misses the gospel, The tragedy that lies ahead of him or her is an unbearable tragedy. Mamas, daddies, aunts, uncles, today we celebrate moms, but moms, aunts, grandmothers, and sisters, please listen to this. If you never cook another meal, if you never read another story, if you never pick up another sock, if you never wash another load of clothes, that's okay. But please, please, please don't let another day go by in which you do not share the gospel with your children. What is the gospel? It is the good news. The good news of God for salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is the glorious gospel. It is the gospel of the kingdom. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are not ashamed of the gospel. We are not to be a hindrance to the gospel. We are entrusted with the gospel. We have the truth of the gospel. Our only hope is in the gospel. And our gospel is an eternal gospel. Mamas and daddies, first of all, have you embraced the gospel yourself? Do you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead? Have you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord? Do you understand that salvation is by grace and grace alone? That for by grace you've been saved through faith in Jesus Christ? It's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Phoebe was a wonderful example of how we should live. We do not know if she was a mama or not. But the one thing we can say for sure is this, that she was a remarkable Christian woman. Whether she had children of her own is not the point. And I always want to say that Mother's Day is very tough for some because they've never had a child. They've never been able to have a child. But you can still be a Phoebe. You can be a remarkable Christian woman. Whether she had children of her own is not the point. The point is that she used her influence to persuade boys and girls, men and women, to receive and embrace the gospel. Will you receive the gospel this morning? It is a free gospel. It is a glorious gospel. And it's offered to you. Jesus paid the price to set you free from the power of sin and death. Perhaps this morning you're struggling with unbelief, and perhaps you should pray. As the father of the boy with an unclean spirit prayed, I believe, help my unbelief. It only takes faith, the Bible says, the size of a mustard seed to move mountains. Would you place your faith in Jesus Christ this morning? Father, we bow before you on this day we call Mother's Day, and it is a great and glorious day. It is a good day, Lord. We love our moms, and God, we love the gospel. And so I pray that if there's anybody here that's been a skeptic, and God, maybe they're here just because somebody just, maybe they're here for a baby dedication. Maybe they're here just because, I don't know, they've done someone a favor. And I pray, God, that you would just pierce their heart with the gospel. This is so important that we make that one decision in our life, and that is what we do with the gospel. To receive the gospel means that we're going to have eternal life. We're going to go to heaven when we die, and that we're not only going to have an eternal life, but the Bible says we're going to have an abundant life. We can have an abundant life right here on the earth. And God, thank you that you made that provision, as has been sung over and over. The choir is saying, and Olivia is saying, and Lord, that Jesus Christ is the key to the gospel, that Jesus Christ is the one who sacrificed his life on the cross for us so that we could receive the gospel. Thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. I pray that if there's anyone here who's maybe they're struggling with belief, God, maybe they should pray, God, help my unbelief. I believe, but help my unbelief. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Number 283. May we stand.